بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله أجمعين. So we turn to the section on tawakkul, on trusting in Allah, reliance upon Allah. Sayyidina Ali says, referring to the verse which was mentioned, Allah says, the one who seeks or wants the harvest of the next life, we will increase him in it. He said the harvest of this of the next life is good actions, whereas the harvest of this life, the dunya, is wealth and is wealth. And then Allah says, will increase him in that, and said the meaning of that increase is being raised in ranks according to that person's intention and that person's the sincerity of that person's intention. It's been rated that Allah revealed to Dawood alayhi salam that Allah said to him, "Inni khalaqtu Muhammadan li ajli," I created Muhammad I created Muhammad for my own sake, if you like. And I created Adam for the sake of Muhammad, and I created everything else for the sake of Adam. فَمَنْ اشْتَغَلَ مِنْهُ. So the one who's busy, the one who gets distracted for other than that for which he was created, I veil him from me. If people are busy doing other than that which they were created for, then I veil them from me. And the one who busies himself with me, then I will give him what he needs of the dunya. Then he talks about the tawakkul. An example of the reliance of the khusus, of the elite, is they have patience in the face of harm. People harm them physically and verbally, they have patience. As the Prophet ﷺ is ordered to have to do, فَاتَّخِذُهُ وَكِيلًا وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, have patience in bearing what they say about you, and take me as the one you rely upon, the one who disposes of your affairs. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَسْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا أَذَيْتُمُونَ. We'll be patient in the face of the harm which we receive from you. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. Let the those who rely on Allah put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, so that's what the prophets say. Allah orders, then Allah orders the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow the other prophets. أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداهم اقتدي. Those are the ones Allah has guided, so follow their guidance. Speaking about the prophets. So He orders the Prophet to follow the way of the previous prophets, which was to have patience in the face of harm and adversity. And Allah says, "Wada adahum wa tawakkal ala Allah." Ignore their harm and trust in Allah. And also he says, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Have patience as the greatest of the prophets had patience before you, and don't be hasty in wanting punishment for them or retribution." One of the arifin, the knows of Allah, he said, "No one is firm in the station of tawakkul, in the station of reliance, until praise and blame are equal in his sight. Praise and blame from the creation are equal in his sight. He's not affected whether someone praises him or someone attacks him or blames him. And also until he's patient in the face of harm from people." That doesn't find any tranquility in the creation. Heart doesn't find any tranquility in the company of the creation. this tawakkul, this reliance is expressed in having patience, having a good transaction with Allah and with the creation. Having haya, having shame in front of Allah and veneration of Allah. Fear and love for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, "Ni'ma ajrul al-amilin." The great is the reward of the ones who act. Those who have patience and trust and rely upon their Lord. So when they had patience, and when they had reliance upon Allah, Allah gave them the best of rewards. So to the people of Allah, we only feed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want any gratitude or any reward from you. And they say, because we fear Allah. We fear Allah and we fear the day of the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So they're not acting for the sake of any reward from the creation. But rather they fear their Lord. So when they did this, Allah gave them the best of reward. They feared their Lord, so Allah gave them the best of rewards in exchange for that. Allah gave them a pure drink to drink from. This is the reward for your efforts, Allah says. Because they didn't ask for a reward from the creation. So Allah, in exchange for that, made their reward a pure drink in paradise. And tawakkul is expressing one's, resigning one's affair to Allah's decree and being content with that. That's why I said, Yaqub, when he resigned himself to Allah, he said, In al-hukmu illa lillah. He said, the decree belongs to Allah. Only belongs to Allah. Alayhi tawakkaltu, and I put my reliance in Him. So the one who seeks Allah should want what Allah wants. He should resign his will to the will of Allah. The love he has for Allah should take precedence over the love he has for his own choices and his own desires. Because the end result, the victory in the end will be for the people of taqwa. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It's revealed to Musa, if you don't attain what you wish, then submit to Allah, and if you refuse, then you'll suffer in seeking what you want, and then what I want will only come to pass. So submit to Allah. Don't in what you desire, because you only get what Allah desires in the end. And if you don't do that, you'll suffer in the process. So surrender to what Allah wants, not what you want. commentary of Sayyidi al-Hilman. حفظ الله ونفعنا به قارئنا. Alhamdulillah, He's all powerful and takes care of all affairs. He's the best. He's enough for us, and He's the best disposer of our affairs. And we send peace and blessings upon the guider to the best of paths, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every second, in every instant, and send peace and blessings upon him and his family, and those who love him. And those who are close to him, and those who follow his path, and make us amongst them and with them. The Shaykh continues to manifest some of the meanings of reliance upon Allah, and the people, the states of those who rely upon Allah. Those whose feet are firm in the station of reliance. And that which every Muslim must attain. There's fadl, which is extra for those of people of excellence, and then there's that which is compulsory, which is fard. Everyone must attain in terms of reliance. The one who puts their trust in Allah, Allah is enough for him. He mentioned what Sayyidina Ali said. So that the harvest of the dunya is money or wealth. And as for the harvest of the next life, it's good actions, pious actions. So Allah says, the one who wants the harvest of the next life, we increase in his harvest. This is the state of the people of Allah. In short lifespans, the few actions, Allah increase them and bless them. Allah promises this ziyadah, this increase. The increase in the next life is being raised in ranks in paradise. So the elite, their concern is that which is they've been ordered to do. In terms of doing good actions and attaining good attributes, that's what they're busy with. And they're not busy with that which Allah has guaranteed for them already, which is their rizq. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi. Then another manifestation of this reliance is having patience in the face of being harmed and being. Because you see that as Allah is the one, if you're being harmed by someone, you see that Allah is the one who's given that person power to do that over you. And you know that Allah is all merciful. So if you're sincere with Allah, you see that He's the one who's given that person power over you. And you know that there's a wisdom behind that. So the know of Allah witnesses that Allah is the one doing that and has etiquette with Allah. And doesn't doesn't try to take revenge or try and respond in kind or do anything. They know that Allah has chosen for that harm to reach you, and that's the decree of Allah. So they perfected their relationship with Allah. They realized this is something that's coming from Allah, so they witnessed that. When the prophets asked Allah to stop people harming him with his tongue. So Allah said, I didn't give this to myself, so how am I going to give it to you? They say I have children, they say I have partners, they attribute other gods to me. So I haven't stopped people insulting me, so how am I going to stop them insulting you? And the one the poet said, Allah is not safe from being insulted by his creation, and neither is a prophet. So how am I going to be safe from that? From being insulted by people? The prophet said, the first harmful speech he heard was from his own close relatives. And he said, "Told them that you said if I told you there was an army behind this mountain about to come and attack you, would you believe me?" They said, "Yes." They said, "We've never heard you lie since your childhood." He said, "Okay, I'm informing you that there's a punishment waiting for you, a severe punishment, and you'll die just as you sleep, and you'll be resurrected just as you wake up, and it's either paradise or the fire forever." And what did Abu Lahab said? And he cursed are you, destroyed are you. Tabbanna. He said, "Is that why you gathered us together? You just to say this? Allah destroy you ever." And then Allah revealed, "Tabbat Abi Lahabin wa tab." There's no righteous person from this ummah or from any nation except that his relatives speak badly about him or her. Everyone is, it's one of the patterns of Allah. So Allah says, take him as your the one you rely upon, and have patience about what they say about you. And the Prophet said, we will surely be patient in the face of the harm we receive from, and we rely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the people of Shu'ayb, they came and attacked him, said, we'll remove you from our city and those who believe along with you. They threatened him, they warned him, either you return to our religion or we'll drive you out of this city. This is the dictatorship that he lived in. He said, even though it's against our will. How can we return to the religion you're in? We'll be lying. At the end of the people of Shu'ayb, they were destroyed by Allah. They were the ones that lost. They threatened him, they threatened Shu'ayb, and they said, "We'll drive you out of this, we'll drive you and your followers out of the city." But the end result was that they were destroyed by Allah. And he said to them, "I advise you, I brought you the messenger, the message of Allah." And this is how the people, the end of those who trust in Allah, and they're saved by Allah, and those who oppose Allah are destroyed. Don't think this is a sign of weakness. And when the people of Allah were close to Allah, they resigned their affair to Allah. And it's not a sign of their weakness. As Allah said to the Prophet, "Leave, ignore the harm they show you, and trust, put your trust in Allah." Allah just, in spite of the abominations that they were talking about Allah and about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah told him just to be patient. They said that your Lord was tired on the sixth day and had to rest on the seventh day. Allah said, no fatigue affected us. No, we were not affected by tiredness. So just be patient. And then he said, "Be busy yourself with the praise of Allah, with my praise." In the night and the day, busy yourself with praising me. And the time will come when everything will be manifest. Don't rush to take retribution or. This is a sure affair. It doesn't need for you to be. Allah says the decree of Allah has come. So don't be hasty. Don't be hasty. There's no need to rush, because Allah's decree will come. It's fixed time, and it's already been decreed. It's already been written. So the one who truly relies upon Allah, someone who doesn't see any difference between whether he's praised or whether he's blamed, or whether his people speak wrongly against, badly against him, about him. One of them said, "If my Lord is content, then let whoever wants to be content be content. Anyone who wants to be angry, be angry." And he said, "Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you're not angry with me, then I have no cares. But I prefer that you make things, you give me well-being." And the true, the people who truly put their trust in Allah, they have no reliance in the creation, in their friends or their family or anyone that's close to them, no allies or. All they will see is him. And then you'll see the results after that. If you're sincere with him, he'll give you gifts which are beyond understanding and beyond comprehension. They taught people to be patient in the face of in the pace of, when they're harmed or when they're insulted, they told them to have, to not resist, to be patient, to not to react, to be like weak, to be like weak people that don't say nothing. And if you don't respond, then Allah will respond on your behalf. Leave the response to Allah. Have no response, have no reaction. Let Allah respond on your behalf. So beware of harming someone who is someone that relies in Allah, relies purely upon Allah, because Allah will be the one that, he won't say anything, won't do anything in reaction, but Allah will be the one that takes retribution. Was close to death. They tried to give him some medicine and he refused. So in the end, when he was unconscious, they gave him some medicine. And when he awoke, he was fearful for them that they would be, that Allah would take retribution upon them for doing this without his permission. So he told them all to take some of this medicine so that they would Allah wouldn't take retribution. Except Abbas. Abbas wasn't involved in this. So they all took some of this medicine. This is out of his mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Out of fear for them. Out of fear for them. So if you harm someone who places their reliance upon Allah, then you're in trouble, because Allah is the one that will take care of them. Likewise, someone who's weak and has no one to support them, if you harm them, Allah will be the one that takes care of them. So another manifestation of reliance upon Allah is being patient in having a good transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do they deal with Allah? They did good actions, not seeking any reward from Him, not hoping for reward from Him. That's why they say, we feed you, not hoping for reward or for thanks. They saw their actions being as a blessing from Allah. I don't deserve, if your action is a blessing from Allah, then you don't deserve any reward from Allah, because it's already a blessing in itself. And when they sought no reward from Allah, Allah gave them the best of rewards. Allah gave them the best of rewards. Yeah. So when they did this, when they fed people, they did good actions, only seeking Allah, not hoping for a reward, Allah, and fearing the last day, Allah gave them the best of rewards, entered them into paradise and gave them the best of rewards, and gave them pure drink to drink from. Allah describes how their reward is in the paradise. About the springs that they drink from in paradise, and the goblets which they drink from in paradise, and how they'll be treated in paradise, all because they purely sought Allah. And the Lord gave them a pure drink to drink from. This is the reward for your actions. And your efforts were rewarded. Allah calls himself Shakir. Allah calls himself as someone that recognizes what people do for his sake, and thanks people for that, rewards them for that. Yeah. Habib Muhammad Haddar used to say, the people of Allah, they serve the creation and they call people to Allah, and they don't even want the least of rewards from people. They don't even want people to say Jazakallah khair, Allah may reward you. They don't want any reward from the people. They want the They don't even want anything to say Jazakallah khair, Allah may reward. They purely want Allah and all that they do. Imam Haddad said that the one they seek is the All Merciful in their words and in their deeds. They treat well those who treat them well and those who treat them badly. There's a great reward in treating well the people of closeness to Allah, because Allah Himself will take care of your reward. Allah will take upon Himself to reward you. The people that are close to Allah and beloved to Allah, Allah will reward you Himself for treating them well. Says he, their Lord Himself, he'll be the one that gives them to drink from a pure drink in paradise. So this is the reward for their sincerity. I'll be the one that gives them to drink, Allah says. All that we suffer in this life is nothing compared to that gift that Allah Himself will give you to drink. Sayyidina Yaqub said that the decree is purely in the hands of Allah, and upon Him I rely. After giving instructions to his sons how to enter Egypt and how to deal with Yusuf and so on, he said, in spite of all this, the decree, the decree is in the hands of Allah, and my trust is upon Him. And all that he suffered, what did he say? I only complain to Allah. My only complaint is to Allah. So he taught his sons to take the means, try and do something, but rely upon Allah and not despair of the mercy of Allah. When they recognized him finally, his brothers, they said that you're Yusuf, and he said I'm Yusuf, and they cried, and they said that they asked for forgiveness from him, and he didn't take them into account, he said Yusuf. Gave them his shirt and told it to throw it on and give it to his father, and his sight would be returned to him, and he told them to bring them back to him, all the family. And then Yaqub could sense the arrival of this shirt from Yaqub, from Yusuf, from his son. He could sense the scent of Yusuf. It was brought to him. He put on his face, and his sight was returned to him. Ibn Yaqub. And his sons came and asked forgiveness. Asked him to seek forgiveness from Allah, and he did so for them. And then when he brought them into the court, they all prostrated to him. He said, this is the confirmation of my dream. I see 11 stars and the sun and the moon prostrating to me. So the 11 stars were his brothers, and the sun and the moon were his father and mother prostrating to him, honoring him. Everything is in the hands of Allah. And the circumstances change, but everything, the decree is in the hands of Allah, in the hands of one. No, the end of it all, look at the humility that Yusuf had. You're the one who is in control of my affairs. Make me die as a Muslim and resurrect me with the pious people. That's the dua of Yusuf at the end of it. Allah, don't entrust us to ourselves or to anyone of the creation. everything is in the hands of Allah. If what you wish doesn't come to be, then submit to that which is. And if you refuse to do that, then you'll suffer. And only that which I decree will be. So Allah said to Musa, If you surrender to me in that which I wish, then I'll remove everything else. Remove everything else which is in your way, basically. I'll give you everything that you want. Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri said, I wish that the whole of the people of Basra were dependent upon me, and that every grain cost a dinar, cost a gold dinar. Every grain cost one gold dinar. And everyone was dependent upon me in Basra. So I wouldn't be worried. I wouldn't be worried about this, because Allah has already guaranteed that they'll take care of them. Allah has already promised that He'll take care of these people, guaranteed. And everyone's worried, everyone's talking about the prices are going up, and this is going up, and this is expensive. Does Allah not take care of His slave? Everything, whatever happens, Allah will protect you and protect your children, and protect that what comes after you. Take the station of Ibrahim as a place to pray. Even the stone which he stood on, it's ennobled. Look how Allah took care of His slave Ibrahim. Someone who's in the care of Allah, what difference does it make whether people threaten them or governments make threats to them? That's why I said, everyone said, let's pray at this point, where Ibrahim stood. And everyone, his whole life in this world passed by, and everyone was against him. He was the only. He died in the state of Tawheed. His uncle Azar refused to become Muslim. There's times when he was alone. That's why Allah said he was an ummah, he was a nation on his own, alayhi salam. He was on his own in that life, and then everyone that came after him said Ibrahim, whether they're Jews, whether they're Christians, whether they're Muslims, they all venerate Ibrahim. The closest the people to Ibrahim is this Prophet and those who follow him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that if the sky, the heavens were made of metal, copper, and the earth was made of lead. In other words, nothing would grow, no rain would come, and nothing would come forth from the earth. And I was worried about my rizq, about my provision. Then I would consider myself as a mushrik, as a disbeliever. And the Imam Haddad said a very similar statement, that if the earth refused to give any plants, and the skies refused to send forth any rain, and the whole of Tareem, I was responsible for feeding the whole of Tareem, I would not be worried after. Allah guarantee that there's no creature on the earth except that I will provide for it, as Allah says in the Quran. People of Allah, they know that if they asked anything from Allah, they had any desire, Allah would answer that and make the creation change for them. But so out of their shyness in front of Allah, they refused to ask. When the Rasulullah Abu Bakr Umar, they were on Uhud, it moved, it shook out of love and veneration for them. So the Prophet said, be firm. He said, the only people on you are the Prophet or a Siddiq and a Shaheed. Shaheed. So an Uthman is it. The Prophet had said previously, this is Uhud, the mountain that we love and it loves us. It's not surprising that it shook out of love when a brother said that about it. People of Allah, that they were ashamed to have any worries about what they would receive, what provision they would receive the next day. Yeah. It's a sin to worry about these things. Yeah. Sufyan said, if the fasting person worries at the beginning of the day about his dinner, at the end of the day, then this is recorded for him as a wrong deed. He worries about what's he going to eat for his Asha, for his dinner. Allah records it as a wrong deed. That's what Imam Sufyan said. So Sahel said, this detracts from your fasting. Worrying about what you're going to eat at the end of the day, what detracts from your fasting.
Thank you.
this tawakkul, this reliance upon Allah in terms of one's provision, they regard it as fard, as compulsory. They were ashamed to mention it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were ashamed to mention the topic to Allah in their dua. Likewise, their submission to Allah, to the decree of Allah, whether it be sweet or whether it be bitter, whether it be hard to accept, whether it be easy to accept. That's why the Prophet says, know that which didn't reach you, it would never do so, and that which reaches you will never miss you. I said, Allah says every small and big thing is recorded by Allah. These things as being compulsory elements of their iman, to believe that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The decree of Allah is, if you like, manifestation of the oneness of Allah. It's the one who claims to witness the oneness of Allah and then refuses to accept his decree, then his tawheed is deficient, his oneness. Someone who had complete certainty and faith, he went to see. He had a need that he went to see one of the rulers, and he refused him. So he on his way out, he thought of going back to ask him. And they said, "No, this is the decree of Allah." But then he said, "No, I'll resign himself to the decree of Allah." So at that point, the ruler called him back, asked him to come back, and gave him what he needed. Which is compulsory, and that which is extra. As for that which is fard, which is compulsory, it's accepting the decree of Allah, resigning oneself to the decree of Allah, and everything, believing that everything has been apportioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah swears by Himself, as we mentioned yesterday, that person has in denying the faith of the one who doesn't accept the decree of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. By Allah, they don't believe until they make you the judge between them in the affairs in which they dispute over, and then they don't find any difficulty in their hearts about what you decree, and they resign completely. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Allah swears by Himself that they don't believe until they completely accept the decree and the judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's Rasulullah. How about Allah, even more so? The one who decrees, who's the one who decrees in reality. As for that which is extra, is those who directly witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their dealings with Him. They have complete certainty and they witness Allah. It's like in the Quran, the pious man says, "Fakiduni jamian thumma la tundurun." Do what you wish, plot against me, and then we'll see what the result is. Abu Jahl owed him a debt, and he came to the Quraysh, and Abu Jahl refused to pay back this debt. The man from outside Mecca. And so the people of the Quraysh, they were sitting there, they pointed, "Muhammad, he'll be the one that gets Abu Jahl to pay back your debt." And they were laughing, they were joking, because the kuffar didn't think anything Muhammad. So he went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he explained his situation. And he said, "Your people said you're the one that will intercede for me with Abu Jahl to get my money which I'm owed back." So the Prophet said, "Bismillah," he took him with him, went to the house of Abu Jahl. And then the Quraysh sent one man to run to behind to see what happened. So the man, the Prophet said, knocked on the house of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl came out of the house. He said, "Well, welcome." He said, give this man his right. And he said, "No, immediately I'll give it to him." He said, the man said to him, "Jazakallah khair," to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the man watching said, why was it that Abu Jahl responded immediately? Why was he was in a state of terror. So they asked Abu Jahl, why did you behave like this? Did Muhammad put magic upon you? So as soon as he knocked on the door of my house, I was filled with terror. And I saw between Muhammad and me, like a huge camel that had his mouth open, was going to bite me, going to eat me. Someone's other question came. I do actions seeking the reward from Allah. Does this detract from my ikhlas? No, he said, no, this is still ikhlas, but it's not perfection in the ikhlas. Perfection is seeking Allah alone, not seeking the reward of Allah. So the question was saying, I do deeds seeking from Allah to be given not knowledge of Him and so on and so on. So does this detract from my ikhlas? He said no. Does it detract from the perfection of the ikhlas?